Another hallelujah. Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the wonders of the word. And we're praying, Lord, that today you speak to every heart, even from this morning, in Jesus' name. We're asking, Lord, that the word will profit everyone. And Lord, we pray that our possession, every way, on every side, spirit, soul, and body, you grant to everyone in Jesus' name. Confirm the blessings of your word upon everyone. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we pray. God bless you. You can sit down this morning. We're continuing with the possession we have in Christ. And that possession is typified by the life, the story, glory, the glory story of Abraham. And today we're looking at Abraham's prayer remembered by God. Abraham's prayer. The prayer we're referring to is found in Genesis chapter 18, reading from verse 32. Genesis 18, verse 32. And he said, "Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure, 10 shall be found there." It says, and he said, "I will not destroy it for 10's sake." Abraham was praying for Sodom and Gomorrah because the Lord had revealed that judgment, destruction was coming upon Sodom and Gomorrah. Their day of reckoning had come. Vengeance will be taken. The judgment of sin will be effected. And Abraham took it upon himself to call upon the Lord as he prayed that God will reverse the judgment. And God answered the prayer, because we are told in chapter 19, verse 29, that, "And it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham." He remembered his prayer, remembered his petition, remembered what he was asking for, that if God found 50 or 40 or 30 or 20 or 10 righteous people in Sodom, that God will spare the land. And God assured him, if he, God, found 10 righteous people there, he will spare them. He didn't find 10 righteous people there, but he found 4. Lot, his wife, and his 2 daughters, and he brought them out of the destruction. Today we're looking at the condition of the prayer as Abraham prayed and as God responded. 3 things we're looking at. Number 1, we're looking at the conditional meaningful if in Abraham's prayer. He used the word if, the other word peradventure. What if you find these people there? Conditional meaningful if in Abraham's prayer. Look at number 2. Number 2, the constant mighty if in the almighty promise. Almighty's promise. God Almighty gives promises, and those promises he fulfills. But the reason is a mighty if, a constant if, in the promises that he gives. Look at number three. Number three is the conspicuously missing if. In almost all petitions, when people pray, they don't remember and they don't bring in the if that is always there, and that if is conspicuously missing in their prayer, in their expectation, in the assurance they think they have. Let's come to number one. Number one, the conditional meaningful if in Abraham's prayer. Look at three things here. Number one. Number one, the condition of if in prayer. Number two is the comprehension of if in prayer. And number three is the consideration of that word if in prayer. Number one. Number one, the condition of if in prayer. And as we look at that, look at Genesis chapter 18, we're reading from verse 23. Genesis 18, verse 23. And Abraham drew near and said, "With wilt thou also destroy the righteous or the wicked?" The wicked and the righteous are not the same. The sinner and the saint are not the same. The believer, the unbeliever are not the same. The children of Satan and the children of God are not the same. And so since they are not the same, are you going to put them on the same field and burn them up? Are you going to put them in the same judgment and destroy all of them? Wilt thou destroy the wicked or the righteous or the wicked? In verse 24, he himself gave the answer, and now he said, "Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50's sake, for the 50 righteous people that are there?" In verse 25, in verse 25, "that be far from thee to do after this manner." It said, you are a great God, you are a holy God, you are a righteous God, you are a just God, to destroy the righteous of the wicked, that be far from thee. And it says that the righteous should die, should perish with the wicked, and that the righteous be as the wicked. And it says they were not the same in character, then they cannot be the same in condemnation. They're not the same in the direction of their lives. They cannot be the same in damnation. They're not the same in your sight. So they cannot have the same suffering of the judgment of God. And then it goes on to say in verse 26, in verse 26, "And the Lord said," look at the word "if," "I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sake." That the word will pursue, the word "if," the word "if." If I find 50, then it goes, if I find 40, it goes on. If I find 30, it goes on. If I find 20, it goes on. If I find 10 there, I will spare the whole city because of the 10 righteous people. We understand that what if goes through the whole scripture. Look at Exodus chapter 33. We're reading from verse 13. Exodus 33, verse 13. "Now therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight. Do I have grace? Do I have the grace of salvation? The grace of regeneration? The grace of recognition? The grace that I belong to you and your promises are yes and amen to me? If I have found grace in thy sight, then it says, show me thy glory and show me thy way, that I may know that I may know thee, that I may find grace, more grace in thy sight. And consider that these people, this nation, is thy people. Look at Joshua chapter 7. We're reading from verse 8. Here Joshua came to ask petition of the Lord. The people had gone to the battlefield, and many of them, 36 actually, had been destroyed. And now Joshua came to pray for the preservation of the army of Israel, for the preservation of the nation of Israel. Here is the prayer. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before the enemies? Verse 9, for the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear that, and they shall hear of it. And then it says, and shall environ us, compass us, come around us, and they will cut off the nation, our name, from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? It goes on in verse 10. In verse 10 it says, and the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up. He was down on his face. The sorrow, the surprise, defeat brought him down, and was praying with his face to the ground before the Lord. And the Lord said, get up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Verse 11. In verse 11, it says Israel had sinned. Israel had done the unexpected. They disobeyed. They flouted the commandment of God. And they have also dissembled, and they have taken of the accursed thing which I commanded them that they should not do. For they have even taken the accursed thing, and so they have stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their stuff, among the things they have. Then in verse 12 tells us, therefore the children of Israel cannot stand. The children of Israel, once they seen in the camp, there'll be defeat in that place because of sin. And once there is disobedience, there'll be defeat upon the people among the disobedience, whom the disobedience is manifested. And once there is a going astray, then there's a going down in defeat before the Lord. It says, therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but it says they have turned their backs before their enemies because they were accursed. They could took their cursed thing and they were accursed. Neither will I be with them anymore. It says, because there is sin. God cannot be party to their sin, to their evil. And I will not be with them anymore except they destroy. If only they destroy the accursed thing from among you. Look at verse 13. In verse 13, it says, sanctify the people and say unto them, tell them that they need to set apart themselves, come apart. And so you can find the person who has done this evil thing. Because it's on this ground alone that I'll be with them when they take away their cursed thing from among them, from among you. There's a mighty if there, and it's on the basis of that if. Take that sin away. Confess that sin. Set yourself apart unto the Lord. And let every sin, every transgression, every disobedience be taken away. On that condition, that's when the blessing of God will begin to flow again. In Jeremiah chapter 18, reading from verse 7, Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 7, it says, at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to bless it or to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it. Verse 8, if that nation, condition, if that nation of whom the Lord has said that he will destroy will turn from their evil, I will repent, I will reverse all that I said I would do to them. You see that from Genesis all through to the time of the prophets. It says, if there's repentance, if there is a turning around, if there is a change, then I'll have mercy on them. Come to number two here. Number two, we're looking at the comprehension of the word if in prayer. When you pray, there is an if, there is a condition, and we need to comprehend, we need to understand that mighty word if. In Isaiah chapter 65, verse 8, Isaiah 65, verse 8, thus says the Lord, at the new wine is found in the cluster, and also it saith, destroy not, for the vine, for the blessing is in it. So will I do for my servants, and then for their sake I will, that I may not destroy them. Conditional there. I was told in Ezekiel chapter 22, reading from verse 29, Ezekiel chapter 22, looking at verse 29 there. And here again, the Lord is bringing the condition. The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and the needy. Yea, they have oppressed the people in the land. And because of that, the prayers were disturbed. The prayers were hindered, that God will not hear. And it's only when there's a turning around, there is a change, there is repentance, that God will hear. Verse 30. In verse 30, it tells us, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the edge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I would not destroy it, but I found none. That condition is there. I sought for a man, a righteous man. I sought for a man, a different man, a distinct man. I sought for a man that has made covenant with me by sacrifice. A man that is not like the rest of the people, righteous in the midst of unrighteousness, saintly in the midst of sinful people, standing up, standing right in the midst of the people that are falling into sin. I sought for a man. If I had found a man standing in righteousness, I would have saved, I would have spared the land. But I found none. And because of that, verse 31, therefore have I poured out my indignation upon them, because I did not find a righteous man there. Jonah chapter 3. In Jonah chapter 3, reading from verse 1, Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. You know the story. God had sent Jonah unto Nineveh, a wicked city, wicked by their violence, wicked by their oppression, wicked by their transgressions, wicked by their iniquity, and their cup of iniquity was full. And so God said, Jonah, go to them, cry unto the city, and tell them, 40 days, Nineveh will be overthrown. What did the people do? The king heard, the people heard, and the king said, everyone should repent, should turn from their evil ways, because who knows, as they turned, as they repented, God might see that and have mercy on them. Look at verse 10. In verse 10, it says, because the Lord saw and God saw their works, their repentance, their turning around, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented, relented, reversed the evil that he had threatened he will do unto them, and he did it not. The word if. Look at number 3. Number 3, we're looking at the consideration of that word if in prayer. The consideration of the word if in prayer. We've been reading Old Testament scriptures. Is it the same in the New Covenant? in the New Testament that the word if still matter? Is there any consideration for any condition for God to answer prayer? The consideration of the word if in prayer. Acts chapter 27, reading from verse 22. And now I exhort you to be of good comfort, good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you but of the sheep. Why? Verse 23. In verse 23, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. Verse 24. In verse 24, saying, fear not, Paul. Very definite. Fear not, Paul. Very direct. Fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar, and God has given thee all them that sail with thee. And here comes the profession of the faith of Paul the Apostle, verse 25. In verse 25, wherefore, sirs, wherefore, everyone be of good cheer, be of good comfort, let there be assurance in your heart, in your life, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Hearing that, it appears there's no condition. Hearing that, things have changed. Hearing that, whatever the people did and whatever they did not do, here is the promise of God affirmed and confirmed. Look at verse 31. In verse 31, here comes now the comprehension, the consideration, the condition that word if, and said to the centurion and to the soldiers, it says, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. The angel assured me, I've given all the men that sail with you, I've given them to you. They're safe, they're secured, they're protected, they're preserved. There shall not be any loss of their lives yet, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. That mighty if is there. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. In Matthew chapter 5, reading from verse 13. Here are the words of Jesus. He says, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the Christian has lost the salvation, if the believer has lost the Christian behavior, if the Christian has lost the Christian character, if the one that was brought into the kingdom has lost the virtue, the grace, if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing. The mighty if, the word if, the conditional if is still there. That if the grace is no more there, if the Christian character is no more there, if the Christian virtue is no more there, is good for nothing. It's good for nothing in the kingdom. is good for nothing in prayer. It's good for nothing in the presence of God, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. It tells us in verse 14, look at verse 14, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Verse 15, in verse 15, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but in the candle, but on the candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Verse 16, let your light shine. Therefore, if the light is not shining, the purpose of the light of the candle, the purpose of the grace, the purpose of the brightness, the purpose of the change and transformation, that is lost. Let your light shine therefore before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. We come to point number two. Point number two, the constant mighty aid in the Almighty's promise. He gives promises, and his promises are still conditional. Look at three things here. Number one, the obvious if in the promises. Number two is the observable if in the promises. Number three is the operational if in the promises of God. Obvious if and observable if and operational if. Number one. Number one, the obvious if in his promises. We're looking at Genesis chapter 18. Look at verse 26. Abraham was still in prayer. He was communing with God, communicating with God on the sparing of Sodom and Gomorrah and all the people therein from the judgment of God. Genesis 18, 26. And God said, there's God responding. There's God giving a promise. There's God saying, this is what I will do, but on condition. And the Lord said, if I find, I'll go there and look. If I find, I'll go there and search. If I find, I'll go there and investigate. If I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sake. Look at verse 28. In verse 28, it says, therefore, peradventure, there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous there, wilt thou destroy all the city for the lack of 5? And he said, look at this, if the condition is always there, if I find there 45, I will not destroy it. Genesis chapter 20. We're reading from verse 7. Here is Abimelech before the Lord. And the Lord was saying, I'll spare you and your family on one condition. It says in Genesis chapter 20, verse 7, now therefore, restore the man his wife. He had taken Abraham's wife. How many people there are who have taken other people's wives, other people's husbands, other people's daughters, other people's property, other people's honor, other people's certificate, other people's earnings. And yet they're praying and praying and fasting. Abimelech had taken the precious wife of Abraham, through whom the promise of God will be fulfilled, and obviously wanted healing, because all the house, the whole house, became barren. And now God said, now therefore restore the man his wife. He gives us the same command today, because the principle, that the principle of justice, the principle of righteousness, the principle of godliness, the principle of holiness, do unto others as you want them to do unto you. That is the business of all the prophets and all the law. And if you have taken, if anybody took anything from you, you want them to restore. And Abimelech, here is a standing principle. It says, restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he will pray for thee, and thou shalt be healed. And if, that's the word, if, that the condition, if thou restore her not, thou, know thou, that thou shalt surely die, and all that are thine, they'll die. Their soul will be separated from their body. If he did not, they'll die. They'll be separated from the land of the living. If he did not, after that physical death, there'll be the final, eternal, second death. They'll be separated from the Almighty God forever and ever. The promises of God contain that word, A. Exodus chapter 15, reading from verse 26. It says, and said, if thou, wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God. You see that word again, A. The promises of God are conditional. If you'll diligently, earnestly, devotedly, obediently hear and hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, then, and you will keep, you give ear to his commandments and keep his commandments, his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee. If you remain righteous, if you remain in the redemption of the Lord, if you remain in obedience to the Lord, only then are you free from all the diseases I brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. Exodus chapter 23. We're reading from verse 22. Exodus 23, verse 22. But if, see that, if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, if you're not picking and choosing, I accept that, I don't accept that, I'll do that, I won't do that, I'll obey on this day, I'll not obey on the other day, picking and choosing destroys assurance in prayer. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies and an adversary unto thine adversaries. Look at verse 25. In verse 25, and ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. In verse 26, there shall nothing cast their young, nor be barren in thy land. That because of that word if that preceded all this, and he said, the number of thy days I will fulfill, on the condition of if you obey the voice of the Lord. We're looking at number two here. Number two is the observable if. In the promise, observe it. It's observable. Look at it. Think about that. And fulfill the reason why the word it is in that promise of the Lord. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, reading from verse 1. Deuteronomy 28, reading from verse 1. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high, even above all the nations of the earth. Remember the word if. Look at verse 2. In verse 2, it says, and on that condition, if, of that understanding, if, of the comprehension, if, of the observance, if, it says, then all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God. Look at verse 9. In verse 9, the Lord shall establish thee and holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto thee. Look at it. If thou shall keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways, and walk consistently, and walk constantly, walk confidently in his word. That condition is always there. Look at verse 13. In verse 13, it tells us, and the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. Look at this. Hey, the condition is there. We cannot be diving into sin mixed up with the mixed multitude and do the evil that the righteous people do in our places of work. We cannot have all that exam malpractices in the schools. We cannot have all the rebellion, all the disobedience, and still claim that will be head and not the tail. He says, here is the promotion and here is the exaltation. If thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which he has commanded thee this day, that we shall walk in them, to observe and to do them. Job chapter 36, we're reading from verse 10. Job 36, verse 10. He openeth also their ear to discipline, and commandeth that they return from iniquity. That's the commandment of the Lord. Return from iniquity. That's his order. He says, turn, repent, return from iniquity. Put iniquity far away from you. Verse 11. In verse 11, if they obey, if they obey and serve him. All through the word of God, God does not forget himself, that he gives the promise without the condition, that if they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. Look at verse 12. Verse 12, but if they obey not, I'm saved, I'm saved. If they obey not, I'm sanctified. Yet, if they obey not, I am an heir of the blessing of Abraham. But if they obey not, they shall perish by the sword, and they shall die without knowledge. It tells us in Isaiah chapter 1, reading from verse 16. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 16. Wash you, be clean, wash you, and be clean. Make you clean, and put away the evil of your doings. Character matters, behavior matters, a lifestyle matters, a language matters, our lifestyle matters, our utterances matter, our disposition before the Lord matters. It says, wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before me. It says, from before my eyes, stop, cease to do evil. Let the distinct change be evident, visible in your life. Cease to do evil. Look at verse 17. In verse 17, learn to do well. You're not used to doing well? Learn. You're not used to speaking right? Learn. You're not used to living a peaceful life and to dispose of anger? Learn. You're not used to standing firm uncompromisingly on the word of God? Learn. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed and judge the fatherless. Plead for the widows. Then it says in verse 18, come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Do your sins be as scarlet? It says they shall be as white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, then they shall be as wool. But you must go on to verse 19. In verse 19, if ye be willing and obedient, that word is observable in the promises of God. That if ye be willing, if ye be willing, ye shall eat the good of the land. What if you're here and you don't obey? What if you're here and you continue to do evil? What if you're here and you are not restored from backsliding? What if you're here and the old habit continues? Look at verse 20. In verse 20, but if ye refuse, the if is always there in the promises of God. If ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured and destroyed, devastated, waste the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. In Romans chapter 11, verse 22, if that word, if, observe that in all the precepts, observe that in all the promises, observe that in the household of faith. In Romans chapter 11, verse 22, behold therefore the goodness and the severity of God on them which fail severity, but toward thee goodness, towards thee, after you repented, goodness towards thee, because you are saved, because you are born again, because you are a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. Over thee, on thee, it says goodness, because you follow in the path of righteousness. Goodness, look at this. If thou continue, if it's in the promise of God, the promise to the people that went before us, and the promise to the people that live today in the New Testament age, toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise, if you don't continue, thou also shalt be cut off. Look at verse 23. In verse 23, and they also, the Jews, were forsaking the way, and they also, the backsliders who have turned away, they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, if they return from their unbelief, shall be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. Look at number three here. Number three, we're looking at the operational if. The operational if in the promises. That if, that word, that condition operates in every one of the promises of God. The operational if in the promises. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11. It is a faithful saying. For if we'll be dead with him, if we'll be dead with him, if we're dead to sin, if we're dead to the world, if we're dead to the promptings and suggestions of the devil, if we be dead with him, we shall also reign with him. Look at verse 12. In verse 12, it says, if the condition continues, It continues in the New Testament. It continues till the end of the world. The condition is there in the kingdom of God. We suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we don't battle because of suffering persecution, if we suffer with him, if we don't relent and go back because of the opposition of the unbelievers, if we don't go back from the Lord because of the challenges of the way, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, now people don't think, whatever I do, however I deny, whatever the compromise, whatever the corruption they allow in their lives, they say they are saved, they're saved forever. And they say, even though they deny the Lord in the marketplace, in the office, in the community, if they deny the Lord, they deny the commandment of God, they deny the salvation of the Lord, they deny the character of the believer, they say, it doesn't matter, am I not saved? I am saved. Look at the word. Don't ever forget that operational if in the operation of God, administration of God, in the dealing of God with his people. If we suffer persecution with him, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. Now the just shall live by faith. The just shall live every day. You'll have the strength, the power, the sight, the focus, the commitment to serve the Lord and to walk humbly before the Lord your God now, every day. Every day now. The present now, in the present life now, the just shall live by faith. But if, look at that, if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. You're not a favorite of God when you're constantly disobeying the word of God. You're not a favorite of God when you're walking in the broad way that leads to perdition. You're not a favorite of God when you see the commandment of God is giving you the grace to obey, but you'll not use the grace, you'll not obey. Hey, any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. And look at the next verse there, verse 39. It says, but we're not of them who draw back, because those who draw back, they draw back unto perdition. But we're of them that believe and keep on believing to the saving, the security, the preservation, the and the protection of the soul. The if is always there. First John chapter 3, we're reading from verse 20. First John chapter 3, verse 24. If our heart condemn us, if you have an awakened conscience, when you do right, it will approve of what you have done. When you do wrong, if you have an awakened conscience, a cleansed conscience, a clean conscience, a sensitive conscience, a spiritual conscience, then your heart, your conscience will let you know. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and he knoweth all things. Look at verse 21. Beloved, if, that's the word, the if is there in the promises of God. When we make our petition, we must consider that if, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. In verse 22, and whatsoever we ask, if our heart condemn us not, whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. In verse 23, and this is the commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. If we don't, our hearts will condemn us. And love one another. If we hate instead of love, our hearts should condemn us. If we love one another, there's no condemnation. But if we hurt one another, a good conscience, a clear conscience, a cleansed conscience, a spiritually alive conscience shall condemn. If you hate, if you hurt, if our hearts condemn us that we don't love one another, it hinders our prayer. Here is the commandment of the Lord, that we love one another as he gave us commandment. Verse 24, it says, and he keepeth his commandments, dwelleth in him, and he in him, and hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he has given us. Look at Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22, verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. You need salvation? He says, come. Into salvation. How do you come? You come with repentance. The Spirit and the bride say, come. You need to be sanctified. How do you come? You come with consecration. The Spirit and the bride say, come. That's the power of the Holy Ghost in the baptism in the Holy Ghost. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. How do you come? You come with absolute surrender, devotedness. I will do with the power of the Spirit what the Lord wants me to do, to be a witness. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. Don't push anyone away, come. Don't drive anyone away, come. Don't be so authoritative on the people that are seeking the Lord, that I command you, stay here, stay there, and if you don't, then don't come. You cannot come into salvation except you obey my order. Let everyone that heareth say, come, call the people. Let them come. Let not your character, let not your bossy attitude drive anyone away. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Here comes the word if operational. Verse 18. In verse 18, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. Look at this. If any man shall add unto these things, if any man, are you a preacher? Be careful. If any man, as we come to the end of the year, like every year, the newspapers and media, they're full of prophecies. And this one must say something, that one must say something, and this will happen. And you know, as they do that, say that, every end of the year, we come to the beginning of the year, we cannot see what is said will happen. Come to the middle of the year, we cannot see what is said will happen. Come to the end of the year, we cannot see. If any man, and there are people who idolize some names, some religious figures, some Pentecostal figures, some charismatic figures, and whatever they say, even though you know that everything they said in the previous year was a kind of terrible addition to the word of God, and God is not for them, yet many people idolize them. But the word of God is the word of God. And it will come to maybe a preacher there. They might even come to me. And you see, everybody says, what did you hear from the Lord? And then you feel you'll be a little fellow. And you will not come to the grade and to the level of the other prophets. And so you conjure something and you add. And you say what God has not said. Remember, if any man here, any man there, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. Verse 19. Here is the word again. And if any man shall take away. There are people that say, husband and wife, one man, one wife, until death do us part. They say that's not acceptable today. And if you keep on preaching that means your church will stop growing. The people that say the new thing in the new era is a man marrying a man, a woman marrying a woman. They say that comes from the top and it must flow down to every nation of the world. They say if you don't agree with that and support that, man and man getting married, woman and woman getting married, same sex marriage, If you don't sign that, you're not going to be allowed on international platform. What do you want? You want to be on international level platform? Then perish and go to hell. Or you want to stay in your humble place and get to heaven? If any man shall take away the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. There is that word, if. Goes on in verse 20. It says in verse 20, he will testify these things, says, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. And when he comes, make sure he finds you in the word of God. Make sure he finds you walking straight according to the word of God. And let that obvious if, let that observable if, let that operational if be there in your life. We're coming to point number three. Point number three, the conspicuously missing if in almost all petitions. As you listen to people's prayer and people's petition, there is something conspicuously missing. Three things. Number one, the missing if in most petitions. Number two, the misunderstood if in many petitions. Number three, the major if in multiple petitions. Look at number one. Number one, the missing if in most petitions. We're told in the word of God, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, reading from verse 14. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If at the beginning of the promise, if this is to serve the petitioner, the person who is praying, don't miss this out. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. Any humility remaining in the people who pray, the people who think they can point to heaven and command God, and their lives are not like the lives of Moses, doing everything the Lord had commanded. The lives are not like the lives of Joshua, who observed and did everything as God commanded Moses. Moses commanded Joshua, so Joshua did. The lives are not like that, and they point to heaven, and I command. Well, what about this? If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, we're talking about prayer, and seek my face and turn from the wicked ways. You know, when anyone gets sick, just commanding God, heal me, heal me, heal me. Why don't you understand the word if? Lord, is there any cause for this? Anything that brought this into my life? Have I done anything to draw this to myself? And if you humble yourself, and if you pray and seek his face and turn from your wicked way, then he says, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin. If You look at the word of God and you repent and you return. I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Psalm 66 verse 18. If at the beginning of the word, don't ever forget that. Don't allow the if to miss from your petition. If I, as a king, King David, if I, as a prince in the land, if I, as number one citizen in Israel, if I, as number one in the state, as a believer, as an overseer, at the number one region overseer in that region, as a father in the family, number one, if as a mother in that family, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Job chapter 27. We're reading from verse 8. It says, for what is the hope of the hypocrite? Though he gained when God taketh away his soul. The hypocrite, what's his hope? Whatever his profession, whatever his religion, whatever his denominational affiliation, but the hope of the hypocrite when God taketh away his soul. Look at verse 9. In verse 9, will God hear his cry when trouble cometh upon him? Look at Proverbs chapter 21, verse 13. Whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry, but shall not be heard. If I regard iniquity in my heart, I see other people suffer, I see them oppressed, I see them persecuted where they should be blessed, I see them tormented in the family of God, in the household of faith, I see them suffering, and I see them being pushed down because they are righteous. In the house of God, you are the whistleblower. You're the one that went to the group pastor and said this and said that. And that person, whistleblower in the district, is now under oppression. They cry and you stop your ears. Whistleblower in the state, you write what is true and you say, here is what is going on in our state. And then the number one in the state investigates and he finds out this, finds out that. You have pen to write, you have paper to write, and you have the knowledge to send email, and you reported this, you're a whistleblower, they'll blow out the light of that person. Oppression in high places. The pastor will not be preaching that if somebody did not tell him this and this about that. And so we hear it from the message of the pastor. A whistleblower has gone to report, and we'll praise them in the house of God. God, whoso stoppeth his ear at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself here on earth. And if that person does not repent, the oppressor, if he does not repent, he'll cry on the other side beyond the grave, but shall not be heard. It tells us in the word that this aid is very important. Don't allow that to miss out in your prayer. We're looking at point at number two now. Number two, the misunderstood aid in many petitions. The misunderstood aid in many petitions. Proverbs 28, reading from verse 9. Proverbs 28, verse 9. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. He turneth away his ear from repentance, his prayer shall be abomination. He turneth away his ears from restitution. He doesn't want to hear that. Doesn't want to know that. All he wants to hear is God bless you. All he wants to hear is God promote you. He turneth away his ear from hearing the law of God. Even his prayer shall be abomination. Look at verse 13. In verse 13, it says, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. There are people, they just take away the evil. If I regard iniquity in my heart, don't think about that. They cover their sin, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. We're looking at Psalm 50, and we're reading from verse 5. Psalm 50, reading from verse 5. Gather my sins together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me with sacrifice. Look at verse 16. In verse 16, but unto the wicked, God saith, what hast thou to do to declare my statutes, or that thou shouldest take my name, my covenant, my promises in thy mouth? He wants us to get rid of sin. And don't misunderstand that aid. Apply it in your prayer. We're coming to number three. Number three, the major if in our petitions, multiple petitions. The major if in multiple petitions. In Acts chapter 8, reading from verse 18. Acts chapter 8, reading from verse 18. And when Simon, this is another Simon, and when Simon, this one is covetous Simon, this Simon, the one that wanted to buy the spiritual with the natural, they want to buy miracle with money, they want to buy power for their pennies. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the hands of the apostles that the Holy Ghost was given, He offered them money. Look at verse 19. In verse 19, saying, give me also this power. Maybe you're not buying with money, but you want to buy with your tribal association. Hey, brother, you are a member of our state, of our tribe. And I've been in this church now for 5 years, 7 years, and they didn't put me, I believe, I'm old enough not to be a pastor, a preacher. I'm old enough not to be the leader of that section. Now, we're from the same tribe. When you put me there, you're like Simon. Or maybe you come to a leader. This is what I want to be. I am so and so. And I'm related to the big man there. There's no big man here. We're all humbled at the foot of the cross. But I'm related to him. Because of that relationship, can I have this? No, sir. We don't buy salvation with relationship to a mere man. We don't buy position because of our tribal association with anyone. And we don't buy privilege because of money. Money bags. I give that. And now make me a pastor. Simon the covetous, you'll perish with your money. Repent. It tells us what he said. He said, give me this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. Look at verse 20. In verse 20, but Peter, hold on. Peter, what's your other name? Simon. Simon came to namesake. Simon came to Simon. And he said, you have the power of the Holy Ghost. I saw you laying hands on those Samaritans and they received the Holy Ghost. You are Simon, I am Simon, give me the power. No, it doesn't work like that. And Simon Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Look at the next verse there. In verse 21, thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter. I am Simon. You are Simon. I am saved Simon. You are backsliding Simon. I am sanctified Simon. But you, unrighteous, unholy Simon, I am baptized Simon, but you are a rotten Simon. There is a difference. And the Simon there cannot come to the Simon here and receive what is illegitimate for a sinner, for a backslider to receive. Thou hast neither part nor lot in, nor part in this matter, because your heart is not right with God in the sight of God. Verse 22. In verse 22, repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray, God, if perhaps, why if, repent, if the repentance is genuine, if the repentance is coming from the heart, if the repentance is thorough, if the repentance is permanent, that you don't shed crocodile tears today and then tomorrow you're back into the same game. If perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. The Lord wants everyone to come to the Lord and examine in a prayer, in a petition, in a lifestyle. Do we carry that if along with us? Are we just there, I'm saved, and our lives do not reflect the salvation, the righteousness, the godliness we ought to have? Isaiah chapter 55, reading from verse 6. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the righteous man his thoughts, and let him now return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Mercy and pardon are available. Purity is available. Power is available. Provision available. The provided possession is now available. If we seek the Lord in the right way, any sin in our heart, any sin on our tongue, any sin in our behavior, any evil, disorderliness, disobedience in our character, let the wicked forsake his way and the righteous man his thought. If you will seek his face and return unto the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, and you're not an absent-minded petitioner, and you take care of the mighty if in the word of God, mercy available, pardon available, purity of heart available, power in the Holy Ghost available, and the provision and possession of the people of God available. Let's rise up and talk to the Lord in prayer. We've heard the condition of being blessed by the Lord, and you want to consider this morning that if in Abraham's prayer, that if that God will remember, if you find 50 righteous people there in our district, righteous people, are they there? Righteous by the cleansing of the blood, are they there? Why are people so sick? And why are people dying and dying in that community? Righteous people must be there. If I find 10 righteous people there, I will spare the land. Achan, the righteous man in the army, caused death. Purge, all that hypocrisy away. Purge all that high-handedness away. Purge it away. Purge all the oppression away. Purge all the iniquity away. Seek the Lord and come with the understanding of that if my people who are called by my name will seek my face, seek his face, call upon him. Any challenge in your life, recurrent challenges, they come and come and come. Your life, have you prayed? Yes, I prayed. I even fasted. Remember the if I regard iniquity in my life, the Lord will not hear me. Bring back the obvious if. Any hypocrisy there? Any unrighteousness there? Any secret sin there? Any Achan's behavior stealing there? Any of Simon's covetousness there? I will not be in the midst of Israel except they take the accursed thing away. If you regard iniquity in your heart, the Lord will not hear you. Righteousness in the family, the man or the maid. Righteousness in the family, the wife of Potiphar setting eyes on Joseph. Righteousness in the office, signing what you know to be wrong and siphoning the money of the government into your personal account. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Iniquity in the heart. Iniquity in the home. Iniquity in hiding. God can see and God knows. And if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Oppression. You are the tale bearer in our district. You are the big mouth on the pulpit. You are the whistle blower in our locality. Because of that oppression, oppression, oppression. You're the reporter taking the news of this section to them there on the pulpit, whistleblower, and you are after them, oppressing them to blow out their light. If you regard iniquity in your heart, the Lord will not hear you. If you be willing and obedient, and the if in the word of God, if you be willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you'll be destroyed by the sword of the word, the judgment of God. Repent, you're a backslider in hiding. Repent and be restored. You are the unsanctified, ungodly, unholy, the midst of the congregation of the Lord. Repent. The world is coming into the church, your local church, through you. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man, any woman love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not the friendship of the world is abomination in the sight of God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world, bringing their festivals into the church, bringing their celebrations into the church, bringing their duplicity into the church, bringing their hypocrisy, bringing their drunkenness, bringing their waywardness into the church, whosoever shall be a friend of the world, the enemy of God. And you come now that the Lord will cleanse you. If you separate from the compromise and you consecrate yourself unto the Lord, and if the Lord will find you righteous in the midst of the people of God, that's when they will have mercy. If we confess, forsake our sin, if we confess and forsake our sin, is faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse from all unrighteousness. Think throughout the day, examine yourself whether you're still in the faith. Examine if the meaningful if is there now in your prayer. If the major if is now in your life. If the misunderstood if has come back into your profession, into your prayer, into your petition. In Jesus' name we pray. God, you see all hearts, you know our thoughts, you know our minds, you know our response, you know our reaction, you know our repentance, and you know our rebellion. Lord, look at every heart, examine every heart, and do as your word has said. To the repentant, to the righteous, have mercy. To the rebel, to the rebellious, to be disobedient, Lord, keep on knocking at their door until they humble themselves and turn with all their heart unto you. And when they turn, when they repent, when they offer themselves for cleansing, when they offer themselves for a new relationship with you according to your word, answer prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. And for those who have, by clever quietness, clever silence, they are subtracting from the word of God, they're taking away from the word of God, they are adding their own thoughts, their own mind, their weaknesses to the word of God. And because they're weak in this area, they're weak in this area, the word for the strong man, the word to strengthen the believers, they're taking that away. Call everyone to repentance and restoration in Jesus' name. Amen. And everything that preachers have subtracted, taking away from your word, the repentance, the restitution, the righteousness, the godliness, all those things that have been taken away from the church of the living God, restore unto the church in Jesus' name. And Lord, help us to walk in peace, purity, and power. Help us to live in holiness and godliness. Then will our prayers be mightily answered before you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.